Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are going to go to Knoxville to get the latest on the Tennessee Volunteers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, doing well. Good morning.
So, Josh, Velus Jones Jr. announcing yesterday that he is coming back to the football program, will be back in 2021. How important do you think that is, and how underutilized do you think he may have been this year in that offense?
Well, it's good news because Velus is, a talented player. He has obvious speed and playmaking ability. And what you asked there, how underutilized was he? He's a guy that I think should have been more involved. I think late in the season we saw that he could have done more. Now, was a different kind of offseason. Perhaps he wasn't as comfortable, or maybe they weren't as comfortable with him. But we have a long list of questions about what was going on in the offense, what they need to work on. And I would say on the list should be getting Jones more involved. And in his statement that he put out, he said the end of the season was just a glimpse of what's to come. And I would hope so. And what you're asking there still was shown at the end of the season. He was barely involved in the Texas A&M game, didn't have a catch in the game. So even after a really impressive performance against Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt was not the level of opponent of Texas A&M, obviously. We were still at the end of the season asking, okay, what are they doing at quarterback? What are they going to do to get the playmakers involved? But having Velus, Jalen Hyatt, and some other young receivers there to develop, if they do that, then the offense could take a step forward this year.
Josh, Blake Topmeyer for the Knoxville News Sentinel reports that Tennessee's hired a pair of lawyers to assist in the investigation. Mike Glazier, one of them. Of course, he has been involved in other high-profile cases. How do you read this situation?
Well, it at least says that this is not nothing, which I think we should have already known considering this is still ongoing and we don't have any final results of what it will mean for Tennessee. And it says to me that Tennessee wants to make sure it does its due diligence and looking with what's gone on in the program. Now, what does that mean for Jeremy Pruitt? What does that mean for his assistant coaches? These are all questions that we're asking. We're still asking here a few weeks into it. So it's obviously not nothing. And at some point, it could be problematic for somebody on Tennessee staff. The big question would be, is it problematic for Tennessee's head coach if it just affects somebody who works for him? It could affect a coach that would be moving on anyway. Does it mean that there will be penalties that Tennessee will self-impose? That might not sound like a big deal, but considering the position Tennessee's football program is in, if it decides it needs to self-impose some penalties, any kind of hit to your program is not good considering all that you have to do to try to get back to where Tennessee football hopes to be. But really, everything's just in limbo. We're still sitting here having a lot of the same conversations and asking a lot of the same questions about what all this means for Tennessee football, and here we are going through the first week of January, and Tennessee does need answers. Fans, recruits, coaches, everybody needs answers here very soon.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Josh, like you said, a lot of silence out of Tennessee right now with the investigation going on. We haven't heard a lot from the program in the last few weeks, and there's always something going on drama-wise on Vol Twitter. And last night, apparently, Harrison Bailey's father tweeting, quote, "As much as we love Tennessee, Harrison came here to play for Pruitt, period," end quote. What do you read into those comments? How much uncertainty do you think is there right now with these players, given the situation happening with the investigation?
Yeah, I would say that it's a stressful time where there's all kinds of speculation and rumors, and it's very easy to hear stuff. Some stuff may be true, some may be made up, some may be in between. But that's Tennessee football, and that's especially Tennessee football here the last few weeks. Ever since the report during the Texas A&M game, it's been easy to find different kinds of rumors of what's going on, what it means for Tennessee football, who might be in trouble, who's not in trouble, all of that. In the meantime, as I mentioned, you know, as I said, recruits, I think, but players on the team, they want to know what's going on. What exactly is the status of the program and the future and the coaches that they came to Tennessee to play for? And I do think most players still really want Jeremy Pruitt to be the head coach, and he very well could be. I don't know what the odds are, but he's Tennessee's head coach right now, and we know that Philip Fulmer wants Jeremy Pruitt to be Tennessee's head coach. But Tennessee has also not told us that that's the case. And if they haven't told us, they probably haven't told the players or the parents because they may not know. And in the meantime, that can that can cause a lot of concern for players, which leads to what their parents think, which leads to a little bit of activity on Twitter. You had a tweet last week from Juwan James, the former Tennessee offensive lineman, tweeting to Lane Kiffin, come to Tennessee, save the program, do what you should have done the last decade, and then came back and said, well, actually, I thought there was a vacancy. There's not. So he heard stuff that obviously wasn't true at the time, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's another tweet from somebody, a player, coach, fan, somebody that causes some unrest here in the next 24, 48, 72 hours.
Yeah, it's a very weird time. It should an adult somewhere around the university say something right now? It just feels like there's a void to be filled by someone saying something.
That's a great question, one that I've pondered. It could help maybe temporarily, but what do you say if you don't know? And yeah, I've seen too many times where Tennessee said something and it made things worse. So, I guess you're choosing which alley you want to travel down, but if you don't know where you're going in the end, I don't know what that's going to do for you. If Tennessee puts out a statement that provides some kind of support for Jeremy Pruitt, but then comes back and decides, well, this investigation's showing us some real concerns, we have to make a change, well, that's not going to make it look good. And these people we're talking about, players and parents, they would feel like they're lied to. Or coming out right now and saying something that doesn't show support, I can't imagine how that would help if Jeremy Pruitt's going to be the head coach. Problem is they need this thing to be wrapped up, and I don't know when it's going to be. Having it happen during the holidays didn't help because you had breaks, you had people that were away from campus, they had quarantining that was going on, and now you can get on Zoom and all that stuff. But the timing was not great for Tennessee, not that you ever want this to be going on at any time. But in the meantime, that's the challenge that Tennessee is dealing with. Everybody's hanging out in limbo, wondering and waiting, and that's when rumors start to swirl. And with Tennessee football, as we've said many times, and I kind of mentioned a moment ago, it can get worse in a hurry because of what's gone on with Tennessee's football past. I do think there's an accumulation here. I think because of what's just gone on for so long and how desperate Tennessee fans are and tired of all of this they are, it's worse now than if we were talking about this 5 years ago or 8 years ago or 10 years ago.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, switching gears to the basketball side of things, Tennessee comes out last week and just hammers Missouri. They look great in that game defensively, just one of the elite teams in the country. And then Alabama comes into town on Saturday and doesn't go so well for Tennessee. What happened in the game against Alabama? How was Bama able to pull off that upset?
Yeah, a few things happened. One, Jaden Springer goes out and is unavailable because of an ankle injury for most of the game, and he could be back on Wednesday. That would be good for Tennessee. The Vols needed his offense as they were trying to come back. Tennessee was without Eve Pons for a while because of foul trouble. The foul that he was charged with at the start of the second half did not help, and I think you saw Alabama take advantage. One, Alabama hit shots, and Ty deserved credit for that. Tennessee's tired of playing John Petty, because he was on fire again against Tennessee this past Saturday. And Tennessee probably made some defensive mistakes on a few of those plays as well. And then Tennessee shot poorly. Victor Bailey Jr. was not hitting shots. From the outside, Tennessee shot 19% from behind the three-point line. In the previous game, Tennessee only attempted 7 threes. They took 3 times that amount in the next game. And Tennessee's not a great shooting team. My biggest question probably going into the season was, what will Tennessee be as an outside shooting team? I think the answer is they'll be an okay team, but they'll have some games where they don't shoot well. And if the other team does shoot well, Alabama did in this case, hitting 50% of their threes, you're probably going to lose most of the time. Look around college basketball. That's happened to most teams. Let's see how Tennessee responds. My guess is that the Vols will respond well against Arkansas. And Arkansas is a good opponent, but not a scary opponent coming into Knoxville. And if Tennessee wins, then I think you're back on track. If Tennessee plays well on defense, which I would expect, and you're back on track. If not, then maybe the concerns are a little bigger than I think right now. But I think Saturday was a game that just happened in college football and college basketball and happens to pretty much everybody, which we've already seen besides teams like Gonzaga and Baylor.
Yeah, you know, the small drive kick, high volume three team, sometimes they're going to get you. Alabama got rolling in the second half. I was surprised. Obviously, they had to take Fulkerson out, you know, because he just didn't match up defensively. But I sense some Rick Barnes frustration with him a little bit, Josh, on the other end, like, you've got to take advantage. And maybe Fulkerson, I don't know, isn't being aggressive enough. Or what do you think is going on with him?
Well, I think it's a mix of that. I think the way the game is going, the matchup, and the performance of John Fulkerson all led to him sitting for that final stretch. And I think there was probably a message from Rick Barnes. And what he says publicly, he says privately to John Fulkerson. So the message to this point, I'm sure, has been delivered very clearly. And previously, Rick Barnes had kind of challenged Yves Pons. And look at the way he played against Missouri and look at his aggressive play on defense. Does have to be careful about picking up fouls. And I didn't think it was a great call to start the second half, but it still happened. But Yves Pons responded, and my guess is that John Fulkerson is going to respond as he has in the past. He's been challenged before. He was last year as he was learning to be a leader of a team, and he did pretty well in the way that he responded. Now Fulkerson is trying to be a leader of a team that's really good and has a lot more options. Fulkerson probably had to respond last year because they didn't have too many guys that could take the basketball and go make plays. But yeah, I think there are others as well, like Josiah Jordan-James. He's a guy that Rick Barnes named as the most consistent player at the start of SEC play, but in a game on Saturday where they're not getting as much from Fulkerson, Pons is in foul trouble, Springer goes out, they needed Josiah to do more. He's one of six, and on Thursday we talked to Mike Schwartz on my show in Knoxville, and he said, yeah, he's been good. He can do more. So they're going to challenge a lot of these players on the team because the potential is so high, and everything that we are saying, I think they're saying it and more behind the scenes. And that's why I think Tennessee will respond well. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect along the way. They'll have games where they don't shoot well or the other team does. But the way that they play, the way that they can be aggressive on both ends of the floor, that's the number one thing that Rick Barnes is going to demand. That, and he wants to see it consistently.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Josh, great stuff, man, as always. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Joe? What do you think Rick Barnes can teach this team after a game like Alabama where you just don't shoot well defensively at times, it looked rough out there, like Josh said, you get in foul trouble. What do you think the big teaching point is for this Tennessee basketball team after a clunker against Alabama?
Well, look, I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, they've just been so dominant defensively. They go to Missouri and just absolutely smother them, and now you find here's a team that actually drives you, gets you into rotation, gets open driving kick threes, and kind of cuts you up a little bit. So I think that's a good humbling, you know, just because you – I mean, Yves Pons, anybody who watched that game, if they didn't have him, I mean, my gosh, the guy's incredible. He is the defensive player of the year by a mile in this sport, but this team is very different with him on or off the floor. And as Josh said, he had foul trouble. But I do think the Fulkerson thing is you're a senior – we know that you can go in the post and get to the line and drive people and be aggressive. And I thought he was passive and in a bad matchup defensively because they're so small. Well, then if you're on the floor, you better make them pay on the other end. So I think that's the thing. I look for Fulkerson against Arkansas to assert himself because they need to be able to throw the ball in the post as they've been able to do the last few years with different people and get a bucket or a couple free throws when they really need something.
When we come back, Joe Rexroad had a grand technological achievement over the weekend. He figured out the poll question on Twitter and asked a pretty good one regarding the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll react to that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.